Hi, welcome to The Left Brain Artist. I'm Suzanne Redman. Today I'm speaking with Ardith Goodwin from Mobile, Alabama. She's a self-taught artist who works out of a studio she created in the chapel of a church. Surrounded by beautiful stained glass windows, she paints with acrylic and mixed media in a figurative and abstract style. Her studio is also the site of a range of art classes, and she teaches out of state and out of the country as well. She shows her artwork in local galleries and has participated in a few solo shows as well. This is Ardith Goodwin. Hi, Ardith. How are you doing today?
I'm good. It's my birthday, so it's a good day in the land of Ardithian.
That's awesome. I love that we're doing this on your birthday, but we won't take too much time so you can have the rest of your day to yourself.
To eat cake and maple bacon donuts and chicken and dumplings. It's going to be a good day.
All right. Yeah. I mean, with you didn't even need to say that because I can hear the Southern in your accent. But then when you said chicken and dumplings, then that made it for sure.
Oh, yeah. I do have a bit of a drippy drawl. I get it honestly.
Yep. All right. Well, first of all, you are in Mobile, Alabama, correct?
Yes, I am. I was born and raised here. We traveled a good bit because my dad was in the military, but I went to school here, went to college here, got married here, had kids here, so it's my hometown.
All right. Okay, so you're settled in. So I want to say that I looked at your website and looked at all your art, and it's just beautiful.
Thank you.
So unique, very different. So I'd like to just start with the big, broad question of when did you start making art, and then let's lead to, and how did it get to the type of art that you're doing right now?
Okay, that's such a great question. I am totally self-taught, so I didn't go to art school. I actually have degrees in education. I was an elementary school teacher. My first degree was in PE. My master's is in early childhood, and then I have a genetic joint disease that everybody gets. Degenerative disc disease premature. They get it, but I got it prematurely. My family runs it prematurely. So I had to give up teaching and go on full disability because I've had 20 plus orthopedic surgeries.
Oh my goodness.
When your spine is off, your gait is off. And when your gait is off, your joints wear out too quickly. So I've had a lot of things to have to be repaired, especially my spine. But at the point when I had to go on disability, I had to figure out what I was going to do with myself because I couldn't teach at the time. So I went to the library and checked out books on painting with watercolor and found out I just had a gift for visual transfer. I was always a creative child and I loved, you know, doodling, but I never had any idea that I would become a full-time working artist. So I started tapping into my creativity and art just for therapy and for fun and something to do. And one thing led to another, and I realized that it was a gift. And that with that gift came the responsibility of sharing it with others. And I can now say I'm completely off of disability. I work full-time as a working artist. I travel globally and teach. And it has become part of my healing process, but also has offered me the beautiful experience of having this as an occupation. So I'm so grateful. As for my style, when I knew I wanted to become and do this full time, I realized I needed a specific visual language, a style where people could see my work.
Okay.
But I didn't have a mentor or a teacher or anybody to show me how to get that. I just liked painting lots of different things. So what I did was I took a year and I studied my own body of work from childhood to adulthood. And I looked for patterns in what I did instinctively from a young age. And I also looked at the technical part of painting that I love and the way that I create. And then I also spent some time asking myself, what were my core beliefs as a human being? One of them is that we are imperfect, but we are beautiful in our imperfection. So I paint with the fractured line or the broken line. I also have this belief that energy flows through us and within us and around us. So I paint with dynamic energy. I convey that to the viewer. So I just spent some time really looking at myself and asking, you know, what do I want to convey and how, you know, how do I want to do that technically, and married the two. And that provided me with a visual style that is uniquely mine.
Oh, that's amazing. I love that. Okay, so you've just summed up what was probably a lengthy process.
Yes.
Because you're making it sound very easy, but I'm sure it wasn't. Let me go back to the first thing you said and ask you, when you went to the library and looked for the book, how had watercolor come to you? Had you done that before at that point?
No, I had watercolors. Because I was a school teacher. Yeah,
okay.
I owned some. Because I was a school teacher, you know, I had sets of watercolors. And then I gravitated toward work that I thought was beautiful. And it ended up being, it was watercolor because it was so colorful.
Okay.
So I checked out. In fact, there was a book called Splash. And Splash is kind of a conglomeration of some of the top painters for that year. And they produced that book yearly. And I was just mesmerized by the painters in that book. And they were watercolorists. So that's what I started doing.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Here's a huge coincidence. I just came across the book Splash today.
Because
I was looking at art competitions. And it's through Northlight Books. It's one of their books. And so you described it perfectly, how it's a compilation of many artists. So it's essentially a competition where you can apply to be in the book, and it's all watercolor. Okay. And is it watercolor that you're using today?
No, I still do watercolor, but I primarily work in mixed media and acrylic now.
Okay.
Because I've fallen in love with the layering process of working with papers and transparencies and paint and graphite. And, you know, I still do my watercolors, but when I started out with watercolor, it was very technical. It's technical based, meaning, you know, it was more tight and there were things you could do that would really wreck your work and you couldn't come back from that. So I took my love of fluids and I took my love of color and I brought them to acrylics, which is where I'm at now. And I love it.
Okay. All righty. So when you did the let me pause for a second because my head is swirling all the different things you just told me. Okay. So what kind of time period are we talking about that it took you to look at your values, look at your history of the art that you've made, and come up to your style that you are today?
So I devoted a year. I started the process. I've been painting for 15 years.
Okay.
And it was about 5 years ago where I knew I really needed that definitive visual style because my goal was to get into galleries and to sell that way. I had been in galleries before, but, you know, I was striving up.
Yes.
So I spent about a year, and in the first 4 months, I really dove into how I studied other artists, and especially artists that had real significant visual styles. And I'm like, what gives them their style? And it's the technical aspect of technically how they paint. And then I began to really understand, too, that it was why they paint the way they paint.
Okay.
So it was the why behind the how.
Right.
So I gave myself a year. And within that year, my style leaked because then I had the parameters of how to build this with paint. And what made sense to me. And when I began to paint in a way that was very true to myself, I almost have a physical reaction. I get so tapped in and I knew I'm on the right path.
Okay, right. So when you say you went back and you studied different artists, were you doing the traditional going through art history and looking at Monet or Picasso? Or was it studying the people that you can find now through social media?
So it was both.
When
I started with watercolors, people kept saying to me, your work reminds them of Kandinsky.
Okay.
I was not aware who Kandinsky was when I started painting. So I heard it enough to where I'm going to go check this dude out. And so I studied in it instantly. I'm like, oh my gosh, it was almost a divine moment because he is my all-time favorite painter. And I could completely relate to technically how he painted and then why he painted. So I realized that I could identify certain painters that I really were drawn to and study them. So I went from Kandinsky to Pinterest, of all things. And what I would do, I would take 2 to 3 days out of the week and I would have specific boards, and then I would just pin very rapidly and randomly. If I saw an image that I was drawn to, I pinned it to this board. I just pinned, pin. And then I went back and opened the board, and I would take my time and ask myself, what techniques do they use that I'm drawn to that I love over time?
Okay.
And a pattern started to develop, and I realized, you know, transparency and the organic mark making line, and the complexity of pieces and parts and complex systems. It all unfolded in front of me on my Pinterest boards. So there were certain artists that I could study, and they would show up over time. And then I knew, it just kind of gave me, they lit the way per se as to help me finding my technical framework myself.
Oh, that's great. I love that. And you've just described it so beautifully, the how you've merged centuries of art history with Pinterest. Mm. And then
right.
I've looked at these unsung artists, these people who are out there toiling away making art today. Yeah, that's great. So let me talk about some specific categories of art that you have on your website.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about the different lines and putting things together and the mixed media, and that kind of made me think of, I don't know if this is the newest section on your website, but the one called Split Heads. Can you describe
yes.
what that is, or the technique? How are you
yep.
doing that? Because it's so interesting to me.
So Split Heads, because I'm a figurative painter, so I paint figurative art, abstract art, and then sports art. My faces, I paint and sketch a lot of heads. And I accumulate a lot of faces. And I love the juxtaposition between pushing past ordinary and things that don't necessarily go together.
Okay.
It's an unexpected draw to the odd. There's just something about my brain where I prefer, instead of something normal, I prefer the abnormal just a tad. So I have all these faces staring at me, and I love collage and putting things that don't normally go together and making them work. So it's kind of bringing order out of chaos.
Okay.
So I'll split my heads. I will tear the heads in half, or I'll tear them into thirds, or I'll cut them up into pieces, and then I'll rearrange them with other heads and parts.
Okay.
Hence the split heads. And then when I reattach them, I paint and make the piece a cohesive whole without losing the ability to see the two different faces or the three different faces.
Oh, that's fascinating. Okay. So you've taken original artworks of yours that are just flat and paint, and now you've made it a collage because you've torn them up, you've put them back together again.
Yep.
Oh, I love that. Okay. How did you get into making the sports figures?
So my first degree was in PE. I was always an athlete when I was younger, and I loved being an athlete. I played volleyball. I played softball. I have a love of sports, but because my body broke down at such an early age, I lost the ability to move dynamically. So when I understood part of my visual framework would be dynamic energy, I knew I could bring back my love of sports through paint. So what I did was I began to study the physics of the movements in each of the sports, and then I convey in abstract form that movement through paint. So I've got dancing and football and tennis and volleyball. So I just find it fascinating, the motion, the dynamic movement of competitive sports. It just rocks my world. So that's why I have that subject matter that I work with.
Okay. Well, you mentioned earlier that you've gotten your artwork. It's been, your artwork has been in galleries. Have you ever done a solo show of any of these series of things? Like
yes.
A bunch of, yeah. Tell me about one of those.
So I've had two pretty large solo shows. One was called Expander Inditive, which was 4 years ago. And that was a large body of work. It had about 37 pieces.
Oh, that's huge.
In that show. And it was kind of the moment that the land of Ardithian kind of visually came to be for the eyes of the public. And those are the characters. I'm working on a children's book ever so slowly. So a lot of the characters that you see on my website have to do with the stories that I'm writing. So that was a good opportunity for me to put forth together that show and say, this is the realm and the land that I live in creatively and imaginatively. And then I had my Red Energy show for the sports, which the Red Energy was the movement of the competitive sports. And I've been in several solo shows, but lots of group shows and things like that. So I've got a show coming up in February at Sofiella Gallery, and that will be characters having to do with carnival and masks.
Oh, that sounds great. Okay. Is that in Mobile?
It is. So Sofiella is a brand new gallery in downtown Mobile, and they represent my figurative work. So I'm geared up for a solo show right during Mardi Gras season.
Oh, gosh, that's great. Okay. And that's, you said February. Okay. I'll put that on the show notes of my website.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Okay. So at this gallery right now, do you already have things there? Is it already open?
I do.
Oh, you did.
It opened. Okay. Yes. It opened this past month.
Okay.
It kicked off with a bang. In fact, I just dropped three pieces off this morning and they snapped a birthday picture, which was fun.
Oh, very
but,
nice.
Yes, it's Kim and Clark Kelly own it, and they just opened it. It's great for Mobile because it's a fine art gallery, and they're super great business partners. So I'm really excited for the city too, because Mobile has such amazing creative people here. So the more venues that we have where we can see art is it's a good thing.
Yeah. Do they have a downtown arts district?
Well, they do. It's called LODA. So Lower Dauphin Street.
Oh, okay.
And we have Art Walk once a month and a very active arts community along the Gulf Coast. So across the Bay in Fairhope and in Mobile, really, really talented artists, performing artists, visual artists. And the community is extremely supportive. So it's a joy living here and being able to be connected with so many creatives.
Oh, that's very nice. Okay. Well, I want to talk about your art studio now, because you have a very interesting space where you make art, but you also teach classes there. Can you tell me about your art studio and how you came about having it?
Okay. So I've been painting for 15 years, and 2 years ago, let me back up a little bit. Ever since I was painting, and then when I realized I wanted to paint full time, I knew I needed a studio, but I didn't have one.
Okay.
Couldn't afford one at the time. So I would paint from the kitchen table, out of my car, out in the woods, on our property, under the trees. But two and a half years ago on Facebook, I saw some photos of a church, and it was Central Presbyterian, and they had empty classrooms, and they were looking to rent out the classrooms. There was one other artist there. So I called up the pastor, Chris Bullock, and I said, I'd like to come and see what you have. And it was a risk and a stretch for me, because that's a big jump when you're going from not having overhead and expenses to I'm going to do this full time and it's going to be my living.
Right.
But it turned out to be such an amazing experience. So when I first moved into Central, houses 13 working artist studios, a Montessori school, Family Promise, and a food pantry. When I first moved in, there was one other artist, and there was a computer guy and a couple of businesses. Okay. But the artist had not come in yet. So I moved in and turned my studio upstairs into this beautiful little studio. But because of orthopedic issues, I really needed to be downstairs. And the chapel, the original chapel to Central Presbyterian, came available for rent, and I immediately felt like that was where I was supposed to be. So I moved downstairs into the chapel, and it is this gorgeous stained glass window chapel. And it's where I work full time. I paint there. I host dinners there. I do workshops there. And it's a beautiful part of Central. They are still a church in the main sanctuary, but they rent out 3/4 of their building to creative groups and theatrical groups and entities. So it's become kind of a community center as well. But the chapel is just a magical place to work in.
I've seen the pictures. It's beautiful. Do you have an idea of how many square feet it is? It looks quite large, just the chapel.
Okay, so the chapel is about 900 square feet, and I had about 1,700 square feet upstairs. When I moved downstairs, the chapel was smaller, but I'm really fortunate to have an office across the hall of the chapel that I kind of use which makes the chapel possible, because that's where I shove things and store things and prep things, and it's a hot mess across the hall.
Okay.
But the chapel just, it stays pretty active and convenient, but it's also a very beautiful space, so I'm grateful for that.
Oh yeah, it sure is. Well, what type of dinners do you host there?
So I have this 20-foot long table that runs the almost the length of the chapel.
Okay.
And I knew when I moved in, it needed to serve a few purposes. It needed to serve as gallery space, workspace, workshop space. But I also felt called that I wanted to gather groups of people and just, get together and talk and have dinners together. So I went on this mad spree of finding china, mismatched china. So I have a whole, I have 28 sets of mismatched, crazy fun china, and we do table settings. So a lot of times it's birthday parties, or it's the artist at Central, or it's friends and family. We love throwing a party, and it's very Alice in Wonderland meets the Land of Ardithian-ish.
All right. It sounds so much fun.
Yes.
Is that the same table that you use when you do classes there?
Yes.
Okay.
So what it is, the church had these gorgeous old oak classroom tables from their Sunday school rooms that were just not being used.
Okay.
So I lined up, I think 8 of them, and then got table covers. And I put it, I guess I layered them based on theme. And then on the top layer, I have canvas that I can just wet and paint on. So when I host a dinner, I just pull up the canvas and then pick my color, and we move to the color of the tablecloth, and we decorate from there. So it's worked out pretty well.
Oh, that's great. Okay. All right. Well, tell me about the classes. What type of art classes are you teaching there?
So I work with adult artists.
Okay.
Who are actively engaged in becoming working artists. So either they're already working artists and they want to work on their craft, or they're considering moving from hobby to professional.
Okay.
And they come to my studio, and it depends on the professional study. 1 week we might study just abstracts. Another workshop would be faces. And then I currently teach online and in person a workshop called Distortion, which is taking the normal way to paint a face and exaggerating it in some way, either with mixed media or with line. And those are a rite of a good time. Locally, too, I offer what's called one-day fun days. And one-day fun days are where you can come and you pay a flat fee, and the workshop's from 9 to 4, and it might be abstract florals. And I actually teach you how to go through the painting process, beginning to end, and you walk out the door with a finished painting, but you learn the steps in the painting process so that you can go home and you can continue painting what you've learned rather than just art entertainment.
All right. So it's not like you're up front and they're just painting exactly what you're painting.
Right. No,
right.
I don't. So creativity is my passion, and mm-hmm. teaching other human beings how to tap into their own creative power and teaching them that they have it in the first place,
right,
is a passion of mine. So I don't teach based on demo. I teach on thinking skills. So I teach you how to think creatively so you can make your own decisions so that what you paint is more distinctly yours than looking like mine.
Okay, that's great. I love that. I had just heard the expression, the paint like me approach to a class. And so what you're saying is you do the exact opposite.
Pretty much. I show a technique in, let's say, how to glaze. So I can show artists how to glaze something, but then we talk about why would you glaze and when would you glaze and on what surface and with what tools so that they can make those decisions and just put it in their skill set. Because it's pretty valuable to learn certain techniques and strategies from artists. But at the end of the day, I want to encourage people to paint like themselves, not like others. So that's just the way I approach it.
Okay. All right. And are you getting people coming in from out of state to come to your classes there?
Yes. So artists fly in from around the United States.
Okay.
And they study with me anywhere from 3 to 5 days at a time.
All righty.
And then I teach people from all over the world online, and then I travel globally and offer workshops as well. In fact, I'll be teaching in Ireland in June on the there's a folk art school, and I believe it's Mulranny. I'll be teaching a week-long workshop there. So,
how did that come about? Did somebody approach you?
They did. They word of mouth tends to happen in the teaching circuits, and somebody talked to them, or a couple people did and said, please see if you can get artists to come here and teach, which made me feel really, really good. So they invited me. So I'm looking so forward to that.
Oh, yeah. Now, I saw on your website that you taught in Tuscany this year. How was that?
That was amazing. I took a group of artists for a week, and the premise of that workshop was to teach artists that want to go on vacation, but they want to approach it with creative lenses. Okay. How do you pay attention to colors and pattern and line and texture and then history? So you're kind of gathering juicy tidbits about where you are, the history behind where you are, what you are drawn to. And then you work with watercolors in an art journal or a sketchbook, and you respond to your trip creatively or artistically.
Okay.
We had an amazing time in Siena and in Florence. It was hot.
Oh, yeah.
I'll never go back in August, but the experience was amazing.
Yeah. Were you doing a lot of outdoor sketching or painting?
We did. We started each morning. So we stayed at La Bagnaia Resort just outside Siena, which is a really old historical resort. So we would wake up and have an amazing breakfast. And then we would spend the morning painting and working with watercolor. And then we would go throughout the day and experience the countryside and the people and the city. And then we would travel and we would gather that. And we would look for certain colors each day or certain patterns each day. And we would dissect all of that at night. And then we would get up and do the same thing the next day.
Oh, that sounds lovely. When in the Ireland trip, what month did you say that was? For 2019?
It's going to be in June.
June 2019. Okay. Do you plan trips out and about for that one as well?
Yes. So at the way that this workshop, it's a bit of a respite, meaning it's all inclusive and you come and you stay on site.
Okay.
And there's a chef and we will tie in the history of the little town that we're going to be. I know that there's a pirate that still lives there. So I will incorporate the history of where we are into the creative narrative of how I teach. We'll probably do some beautiful stretching each day. We'll go to the beach. But we are going to explore the countryside and learn the way of life in that part of Ireland, which is really, really exciting because ancestrally I'm Irish and I've never been. So I cannot wait.
Oh, wow. Well, that's extra load of fun for you. That's great. Well, as you're describing your classes, I can tell that you are a longtime teacher, that you have the education system in your blood because you're talking about learning about the history and the culture and the geography or topography. That's wonderful.
Yeah, because, in my heart, I'm a teacher first.
Yeah.
I was called to teach, and I miss teaching the young. Oh, my gosh. But I'm so grateful that I still can incorporate teaching into being a working artist as well, because it's a win-win.
Yeah. When you were trying to discover your style of art, did you have the goal of eventually teaching art, or was that not even in the realm yet?
Well, it was interesting because I painted for about 7 or 8 years while I was in therapy, while I had surgeries.
Okay.
And then I had the opportunity to come off of disability, or at least attempt to, and work at a private school teaching art. So my degree's not in art, but they honored my master's. And okay. I was physically well enough to where I took on that job. And it was such a beautiful experience for me. But I was also painting, and I was also traveling and teaching. And I knew I would have to give up something. I couldn't do both.
Right.
So when I made the decision to leave the classroom and go out on my own, I knew I would bring the teaching element in and teach online or workshops, because I just couldn't give up teaching altogether, because it's just part of who I am.
Yeah, I can tell. Yeah. So you mentioned before that you were talking about your distortion class. Did that start as a live class and then it's become an online class? Is that what you said?
No. Okay. It actually started as an online class.
Okay.
Then I pulled it into the in-person workshop. In fact, I'll be teaching. So in May at Kara Bullock's in California, that workshop is booked, but I'm bringing distortion to that workshop. I started out teaching the fine art of creative play and then moved the line for abstraction and just offering workshops that had to do kind of with technique, but also tapping in creatively and how do you find your voice? Because a huge part of what artists struggle with is how do I come up with my style? So I teach my path and finding my own and just show other painters, well, this is what I did to solve that. And it may not be the answer for everyone, but I do incorporate it into my own workshops because it's what I know. And I've been really deeply successful based on finding it that way and then learning how to utilize it.
Okay. All right. When did you first start doing the online classes and why did you try that? It sounds like you've been very successful with the live classes.
Yes, I love both.
Okay.
For different reasons, but Connie Solera with 21 Secrets, she invited me to be one of her teachers in one of her 21 Secrets modules.
Okay.
And that experience in building films and working with a client base that was just online was transformative for me, because I learned that a lot of people cannot travel or do not have access in their hometowns to really important art instruction. So online was just a venue that it was untapped for me at the time. So that opened doors. And once I saw the reach that I could have as a teacher, I decided I'm going to teach online as well.
Okay.
So it kind of just lit that fire, and I enjoy both. You know, I love artists coming into my studio and being in person with me and working, but I also love being able to reach out around the world to people that I may never meet in person, but we build these relationships and connections, and they study and they work.
Okay, that's great. So it looks like the ones that you offer online are 6 weeks long. What is the format? What happens over 6 weeks with one of your classes?
So I had, for the last 3 years, I've offered a year-long creativity course called Push Past Ordinary.
Okay.
I just retired that class.
You did? Okay.
I did, because painting full-time and being in galleries, I had to let some things go. So the year-long class was retired. And I'm building 6 week courses. So Distortion 1 and Distortion 2, they're built around 6 weeks. And I break the 6 weeks down into technical learning modules where I have an introduction to the concept. We study artists each week that are current contemporary artists or art history, such as Francis Bacon. And then I introduce them to the techniques that they can try and explore. But also I show them how to begin asking what their point of view is and what are they drawn to, so that they, those bigger questions of why do I want to use this technique and how would it serve me creatively matter. And then I use Facebook groups. It's a secret group on Facebook, and I actually go live once a week in the Facebook where they see me teach, and I answer questions live in real time.
Okay.
And they, you know, they also get an ebook with PDFs and videos that they can download. So it's a pretty dynamic class. I love my online groups. They are, the painters are really engaged, but I think it's because I go live and I actually show them the process unfolding before their eyes, and they give them a chance to question and ask. It's been a good model that has worked well for me.
That's great. Okay, so you said that they get an ebook. Do they get mm-hmm. all of the content at the beginning, or are they getting the ebook in chapters?
They get a weekly, they get a welcome guide at the beginning just okay. to explain how the course works, frequently asked questions. Okay. And then each week on a Sunday, they get the lesson for the week that they can begin. And okay. then on Tuesday, the live teaching takes place. And then throughout the week, there's classroom hours where I'm available and I'm engaging in answering questions. And a lot of the learning takes place in the threads in the
okay.
classroom.
Yep.
Because when an artist asks a specific question, you know, I am known for being really engaged in my courses. So when you take a course from me, you are going to get answers from me. I don't have an assistant that is with me. And I really value the connection of helping artists figure things out.
Okay.
So I am probably more engaged than most teachers because I can and because I choose to be, but I really think that it matters.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. What, so the students that are in your classroom, so for example, your class called Distortion, are mm-hmm. they all doing the same medium, like all watercolor or all acrylic, or can they do any medium?
The majority of them are working in acrylic,
okay.
but some are working in clay and some are working
okay.
in watercolor.
Okay.
I don't have any oil painters that I know of, because oil paints and mediums, it's just a very different ball of wax. But clay and the distortion is modeling clay, Play-Doh, or Crayola Model Magic. So there's a 3D component to the course.
Oh, okay.
So that really helps those who are working in 3D tap in, but it also teaches those who are painters, how do you build a three-dimensional form and what are the intimate, what's the intimate nature of the face and the figure? And then how do you look at it and sketch it from real life with light sources for drama, and how do you push emotion? So it's a dynamic class. It is crazy fun, and we go from the subtle distortion to the extreme. And we just started subtle distortion this week. We've been studying Alice Neal. She's one of my favorite painters.
Okay.
So it's been good, but the classes are set up in 6 weeks chunks. Because one thing that I found out too is there's so many good classes online that you could take.
Right.
And sometimes when classes are longer, you start out with like gangbusters and then you lose momentum. So 6 weeks tends to be a group of time that works well for most artists to stay engaged.
Oh, that's good. Okay. Well, it sounds very technique heavy. So as you're describing this to me, I'm thinking, I'm really surprised that you don't have a master's in fine art behind you. But it's because you've really self-taught your everything.
Yeah, I have had people that took my year-long course 3 years in a row, and the document at the end of the year is about 370 pages.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
And they're like, this is like a thesis course. But the only way I know how to approach teaching art is through teaching. And because I'm a painter, it's kind of the best of both worlds, because I really have a grasp on learning objectives and what impacts student learning. So I approach it in that way.
Okay.
With the experience of being an everyday painter who's making a living. So I think it's a good combination to offer students, and I just sit in a unique spot, but I'm very grateful for my educational background because it helps me be a better teacher of art, even though I don't have the piece of paper saying, I'm trained to do it. I'm trained, and my master's is in 3 through 5 year olds. But I can tell you this, if when you approach teaching adult artists with kind of the same, friendly approach, it works quite well.
Yeah. Okay. I can see why you're such a success. So online, you've listed your other 6 week classes, abstraction, expression, and then we talked about distortion. Will those classes have you've done distraction one and now a distraction two. Will those other ones have a two, or will they be repeated?
They're going to be repeated. I haven't decided if I'm going to offer distortion two this coming year. I am going to offer distortion one. I'm going to offer a course just on noses and eyes, because that's a technique that I get those questions all the time. I don't know how to do the nose. The nose is tough because of all the values. So I'm going to offer almost a self-study course on just eyes and noses and distortion. And then I've got some other ideas that I'm percolating that I've got to pull the trigger in the next 2 days and go, out of these 7 courses, which 3 am I going to offer? Because I have too many options right now.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be overextended. But they're all going to be based around using mixed media, enhancing your point of view, really fine tuning what you want to paint in the way you want to paint it with the things you want to paint with.
Okay.
So I'm super excited to, and I'm also going to break down too that year long class into smaller chunks.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Okay. Yes. So like, you know, we had a 5 week module on just line and a 5 week module on just color.
Okay.
So I'm going to offer some of those things rather than the year long approach. And I think that's going to work well.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. And you've already got the material and it's been a success. I got
you. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I wanted to ask you about one more class. I saw you had a class called The Balance of Business and Art.
Yes.
What is that? Is that a live class? Is that an online? What is that?
So that is a 1 day online class.
Okay.
I just had about 55 people take it. And it's so because I'm self-taught, mm-hmm. and my entire business has been built from me having questions and finding answers to them. I didn't have a mentor. I didn't hire a company. I am just very devoted to self-study. So for 15 years, I figured out what doesn't work, what works, and where I'm at. And coming off of disability and just the struggles that I've had, it's been an amazing journey. And if I could have sat down 10 years ago with an artist that was willing to say to me, this is the reality of what you're going to face, and this is what worked for me, this is what didn't, and this is these are the questions that you should be asking yourself right now, I would have jumped at the chance. So what I wanted to do was offer that to whoever felt called that they might be resonating with it. And it was about a 2-hour-long discussion, and I sent them a business action planning sheet ahead of time. And so it was very site specific to them in that they looked at the sheet and their answers were unique. And then I went through the questions myself and said, this is how I approach this. This is how I respond to this. This is what this, you know, this did not work for me. It was a hot mess. I would avoid it. Everybody chooses how they approach their questioning, the timing of it all, meaning, you know, I plan my years out a year in advance, if not 2 years in advance out now, because I have to.
Okay.
And it helps painters ask the tough questions. Am I really ready skill set wise? Am I really ready timing wise?
Right.
You know, if I'm painting from my kitchen table and I've got 3 kids and I'm and you know, all that juggling, you may not quite be ready, but then again, you might be. So that class was hugely successful in just giving, I think, solid information. It wasn't about how do you get more followers. That was not how I approached it at all. It was just an honest talk from a businesswoman who has been successful as a full-time working artist, as to what worked for me and what didn't.
Okay. And was that a group class, or were you having an honest talk with each student one-on-one?
So the way the Facebook Live worked, it was in a secret group.
Okay.
I went live.
Uh-huh.
And they took notes for the first 2 hours.
Okay.
And then at the end of the two-hour session, it was question and answer time, so they could ask any questions that they needed to. But they also sent me ahead of time a question. Each person sent me a question that was really important that they absolutely wanted me to answer. And I covered that within the two-hour time frame.
Yeah.
So by the end of it, most of the questions were already answered. And then there's follow up in that classroom, like just yesterday. How are things going? Where are you at? It was a lot of information. Like, I think I might have scared a few people, but it's information that they really, truly needed to hear early on so they can make wise decisions as to their own career path, because success in business is different than success in creativity. But to be a successful working artist, you have to be good at both.
Right.
You just do. You are in business to sell a product. So that's what that class was about. I loved doing it. And I'm going to offer it again this coming year.
Okay. So you called it a one-day class, right?
Yes.
But it doesn't seem like it is, because they're thinking about their question, giving their question to you ahead of time. You're working on the answers to all these questions. You're following up with them. So it sounds hugely valuable to me. It sounds like whatever it was you charge, I'm sure they got well more than their money's worth.
So that course was $55 a head, which
that's amazing.
There are people in business that would have said you didn't charge enough, but you know what? I charged enough because my time got covered, but I'm passionate about offering information that needs to be offered, without saying this is only for profit for me, because I don't work that way.
Yeah.
And then I'm also just really committed to seeing other artists be successful. And, for those who feel like they need to, there are consultation experiences that they can, sign up with me for. And then I do my one-on-one consultations and help with the business planning and, the action steps that they need to really fine tune. So it kind of opens the door for if they felt led to work with me further, they can. But I just had to ask myself, what do I wish I would have had, you know, early on in my career when I was making big decisions?
Yeah.
So that's what I gave them.
Okay. All right. Well, that's great. So all of these classes that we're talking about, both the online and the live ones, the ones in Mobile, the ones in Ireland or California or wherever else you're going, when will your 2019 calendar be available for everybody to see?
Okay, so it comes out next week.
Okay, so that's the second week of November. All right.
Yes. If you go to my website at artistgoodwin.com, you can sign up for my newsletter. And my newsletter people get the information first.
Okay.
So they tend to get it a day ahead of everybody else, because my courses do tend to kind of fill up pretty quickly. I share on Facebook. I share on Instagram as well. So that's multiple ways. But the newsletter is the best way, just because they can get it. Because I do have a blog, but I link all of that in my newsletter and say, here's my courses. This is where you find out the information. And then if an artist reads a description of a workshop and she's hesitant or he's hesitant and he's not quite sure, feel free to message me. Because I want to make sure you're a good fit for the course. It's not about me just selling products. I really want you to be a good fit, because if you're not ready for the course, you're going to be frustrated. And I don't want artists to be frustrated. I want them to completely understand what they're purchasing, what they can expect and what they'll get.
Okay. So what do you think is the best way for you of getting the word out about your classes? Do you think one social media method is the best, or is it a combination of many?
It's a combination of many. Okay. I can tell you that your from what I've learned, your email list is golden.
Okay.
Because your email list connects you with clients directly to you. When you go through social networking, you have the filter of the social networking that you've got to work with.
Right.
So the algorithms can channel you into a slow stream or a fast stream. You have to pay to play. So, you know, you've got to have multiple eggs in one basket or the approach.
Okay.
A multifaceted approach. At least that's what I found works the best. But your email list should be the first priority because that's your direct link. If your social networking fails, you still got your email list.
Okay. Do you offer people something when they join your email list? What is it that's getting them to join it?
Right now, I don't offer anything such as a free course. I do offer, so there's a blog post that I did a couple years ago, and it's the 10 steps for self-taught artists, or it's the 10 tips for self-taught artists. That one document has made its rounds through Pinterest, through so many, through Google Plus. But it was super helpful because it's like approaching the art industry from self-taught is very different than going through the fine art industry and the academic realm. So that's a free thing, but I'm in the process of revamping part of my website so that this coming year there's going to be a few things for free. There's going to be self-study courses. There's going to be group courses, and then there's going to be one-on-one ways to work with me. So it's going to be and it's going to be based on levels, meaning level one is for anybody, even children.
Okay.
Level two is for hobbyists and for beginners, and you know, level three is for moving past, but in level four is for the professional working artist. So that way, when you're looking at my website, it's going to be easy to understand. Yep, that one's for me. Nope, that one's not. I'll skip that one.
Okay. All right. Well, since we're talking about your website, what is the name of your website?
It is my name, ArdithGoodwin.com.
All righty. And what is your Facebook?
Facebook. So here's how I approach Facebook. My personal profile, which is Facebook.com/ArdithGoodwin. I only post public. I don't post. I don't use my profile in a personal way.
Okay.
So you don't have to friend me to follow. All you have to do is follow me and you're going to get every post that I put out. But if you're going to take a class from me, friend me, because I will need the ability to be friends with you to add you into my courses. And then I do have a Facebook art page, which is facebook.com/landofardithian. And I go live there occasionally. There were Sunday studio chats, which is a lot of ways that I offered the free information. I would just go live and be painting live and answering questions. I'm flipping that to Tuesday starting next week.
Okay.
So that's then, you know, that's a Facebook page. So all you have to do is like it.
Okay. Yeah.
If you want to make sure that you don't miss one of the live feeds, then subscribe to the notifications for that page. That way you'll get a notification that artist's going live from her studio painting today.
I gotcha. Okay. All right. And what about Instagram? Is that big for you?
I love Instagram. Instagram is a different market for me than Facebook. So Facebook is, you know, student oriented, and I'm connected to tons of creatives. And I am on Instagram, but it's, a more international audience.
Okay.
More of the industry I'm connected to on Instagram, but I post probably maybe once or twice a day. I love Instagram just because being a visual, you can just go to Instagram without all the politics and religion and noise, right?
Right. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And just spend some time with eye candy over there. But I do actually like carrying on conversations and engaging with other artists because there's just so much to see and learn and do and study there.
Right. Yeah. I noticed that you did a couple of posts where you were doing paintings inspired by your own selfies.
So a huge part of my process is if I'm painting a figure and I want them to have a specific pose, and it's from my imagination, but I need to figure out how would the hand look? Then I'm going to take a selfie to give myself a guide. I do it all the time. My phone, I don't take selfies like of me looking normal. I take them of my face distorted and my hand across or in my mouth. And then I actually create paintings that way. So occasionally I'm going to show the finished painting and the selfie and what inspired it.
Yeah, I love that. I saw that. I saw that just in the last couple of days you did that. And I just thought that was fabulous. Well, yeah. Have we touched on everything? You certainly are, sound very, very busy.
I do. I stay really, really busy. Yeah. But I'm blessed. I'm blessed to be busy.
I bet. Yeah.
Because I am called to teach and I'm called to be creative. So it's a great honor to me to be able to use my gifts to reach others and inspire others, because I've lived this. I'm an ordinary person living this extraordinary life, in that I faced some really tough medical challenges, emotional challenges throughout my life. But I always had this inner belief and inner calling, and it's my faith that I connect with it. But we are meant for greater things. And so many adult creatives, they doubt that. They have a lack of confidence. So I just feel compelled to stand up and say, your mark matters. Your voice matters. Putting beauty out in this world creatively matters. So it's a privilege to work with people, especially when their light bulbs come on and they realize, you know what, it really does. Yeah. So it's,
well, good for you.
It's a good way of life.
Yeah. Well, great. It's been wonderful talking to you, Arta. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for interviewing me. I so appreciate it.
You're welcome. Be sure and check out my show notes for this episode so you can see examples of Arta's art. It's amazing to think that she's self-taught. I really love how she explained her process for developing her own style of art. I've included links to her website and social media, so be sure and look at all of her online course offerings. Here are a few takeaways from this episode. When you're trying to figure out what your style is, take a look at your whole body of work. Look at the technical aspects and trends. Number 2, look at your core beliefs too. Your artwork will be true if it represents your values and history, not those of your instructor. Number 3, study other artists to see how they paint. Include artists from history as well as contemporary artists you can find on social media. Number 4, use Pinterest or Instagram to create a group of artwork that inspires you, and then examine that group to find the similarities and figure out what you'd like to take from it. Number 5, if there is something that you love to do, why not incorporate that into your art, like Arta did with her love of sports? She now has an entire series of sports-inspired paintings. Number 6, when teaching art, consider teaching based on the techniques rather than pure demo. That will make it easier for your students to determine their own style. Number 7, your email list is the best way to get engagement for your customers. Realize that social media is curated and not all of your posts will be the top posts on others' feeds. Number 8, remember that your voice matters and putting beauty into the world matters. I hope you've enjoyed hearing Arta talk about how she developed her art. Her classes sound so interesting, especially her one-day class on the balance of business and art. I've included a few photos of her artwork on the show notes of my website, but be sure and visit her website, artithgoodwin.com, to see so many more, plus photos of her studio in a chapel. She also lists all of her class offerings on her website, and her 2019 classes will be posted very soon. My Facebook page for this podcast is called The Left Brain Artist. You can also find me on Instagram at The Left Brain Artist. I post photos of my own artwork on my personal Instagram account, which is called Suzanne Redman Art. Feel free to follow both of those accounts. If you're enjoying these podcast episodes, please go on iTunes and leave me a review. And thank you for listening to The Left Brain Artist podcast. I'm Suzanne Redman. See you next time.